This is 4th Canto, chapter 19, text number 36. Just see how Indra, the king of heaven, was creating a disturbance in the midst of the sacrifice by stealing the sacrificial horse. These attractive sinful activities he has introduced will be carried out by the people in general. And repeat, just see how Indra, the king of heaven, was creating a disturbance in the midst of the sacrifice by stealing the sacrificial horse. These attractive sinful activities he has introduced will be carried out by the people in general. Report by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Transcendental Stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.21, Yadyat Charity Chastas, Tat Tat Evetaro Janaha, Yadyat Pramanam Kurute, Lokas Tat Anuvartate. Whatever action is performed by a great man, common men follow in his footsteps. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Very important verse. When it says great, it doesn't necessarily mean good qualities, but somehow great man, like the president of a country, or the father in the family, or whoever is supposed to be the leader, everyone will follow. So nowadays people are happy to have corrupt priests and corrupt leaders, so they can be corrupt also and think it's okay and just follow them. No? In America, everybody was very happy when the president was caught doing so many illicit things. And they said, well, it's okay, he's going in, and I'll do it all. He's lying, I'm lying, no problem. In Japan, the Buddhist priests are drinking and they're drunk, so the people like them. They don't feel guilty. And the priests, they give a lot of donations. Cheating. For his own sense gratification, Indra thought to defeat Maharaj Prithu in the performance of 100 horse sacrifices. Consequently, he stole the horse and hid himself amid so many irreligious personalities. Taking on the false guise of a sannyasi, such activities are attractive to the people in general, therefore they are dangerous. Lord Brahma thought that instead of allowing Indra to further introduce such irreligious activities, he would better to stop the sacrifice. A similar stance was taken by Lord Buddha when people were overly engrossed in the animal sacrifices recommended by Vedic instruction. Lord Buddha had to introduce the religious of non-violence by contradicting the Vedic sacrificial instruction. Actually, in the sacrifice, the slaughtered animals were given a new life, but people without such powers were taking advantage of such Vedic rituals and unnecessarily killing poor animals. Therefore, Lord Buddha had to deny that authority of the Vedas for the time being. One should not perform sacrifices that will induce reversed orders. It is better to stop them. And that's going on now in the Hindu with the Durga temples. The people, they just bring their goat and line them up, and the priest kills it. And they say it's Durga Prasad, it's Jagya. The Muslims, in their marketplace, they see everything halal, halal, halal. But there's very strict standards for that, but now it's very relaxed and they just label it halal. The Jewish have their kosher, the same thing, the way they kill the animal. But it's not at all according to their real scripture. That would be very rare. Only the priest can do it, but now anyone can do it. So this is Kali Yuga. And even Buddhists are eating meat. Although the Buddha's main teaching was no violence. As we have repeatedly explained, due to lack of qualified Brahminical priests in Kali Yuga, it is not possible to perform the ritualistic ceremonies recommended in the Vedas. Consequently, the Shastras instruct us to perform the Sankirtan Yajna. By the Sankirtan sacrifice, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His form of Lord Chaitanya will be satisfied and worshipped. The entire purpose of performing sacrifices is to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Lord Vishnu, or Lord Krishna, is present in his form of Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, people who are intelligent should try to satisfy him by performing the Sankirtan Yajna. That is the easiest way to satisfy Lord Vishnu in this age. Krishna Varna Twisha Krishna Sango Pangas Paparchadam Yungat Yavyar Sankirtana Praya Kijantihi Sumedha Sada. That's the prediction of Lord Chaitanya from the 12th canto. And in this age of Kali, the incarnation will be like Krishna. You'll always be chanting the name of Krishna, Krishna Varna. But Twish Akrishna, color will be different. Yellow and black are quite contrasting colors. Right? When you want to have a very noticeable signboard or something, you put yellow and black. And very bright. Different colors. Golden and black. And he's surrounded his weapons, Sango Pongas Paparchadam, or his associates. Primarily the Panchatattva, but all his associates. And Yajna is Sankirtana prior. The Yajna will be the Sankirtana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Yajantihi Sumedhasa, those who have Sumedhasa, good dreams, they'll join. They'll join the Sankirtana group. Those who have good intelligence. Those who have alpha meters have bad intelligence, they will join the Kali Yuga movement and increase their gambling, intoxication, prostitution, animal slaughter. All these six things are going full steam in Kali Yuga. Here, when we come in, the first thing at the airport is a big sign for casino. Expect a good time. There's one signboard in Durban, right near our temple, and it says, expect a miracle. I thought it was a church when you get up close, it's a casino. Expect a miracle. Because it's a miracle if you win. The odds are very much against. But everyone thinks it's in the picture show, very happy, beautiful, rich people, because those people do like to gamble, they can afford it. But even sometimes the rich people lose everything. But to speak of ordinary people that think they're going to become rich without working. And even if you win in gambling, you can't keep it. It's a Vedic standard, like karma, you can only keep it for a certain number of years. And also, you have to take the, all the people that lost, you get their money. So, you have to suffer from that. Better not to gain. People should take advantage of the injunctions of different shastras concerning sacrifices in this age and not create unnecessary disturbances during the age of sinful age of Kali. In Kali Yuga, men all over the world are very expert in opening slaughterhouses for killing animals, which they eat. If the old ritualistic ceremonies were observed, people would be encouraged to kill more and more animals. In Calcutta, there are many butcher shops which keep the deity of Kali. The animal eaters think it is proper to purchase animal flesh from such shops and hope that they are eating the remnants of food offered to the goddess Kali. They do not know that the goddess Kali never accepts non-vegetarian food because she is the chaste wife of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is also a great Vaishnava and never eats non-vegetarian food, and goddess Kali accepts remnants of food left by Lord Shiva. Therefore, there is no possibility of her eating flesh or fish. Such offerings are accepted by the associates of Kali, known as Bhutas, Kshishachas, and Rakshasas. And those who take the prasad of goddess Kali in the shape of flesh or fish are not actually taking the prasad left by Kali, but the food left by the Bhutas and Kshishachas, ghost prasad. ओम ज्ञानात्मिरंदस्या तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदमायां ददति स्वपदम् वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुता परकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सज्जजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं सद्वैतां सवदूतां परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्री श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितं च पञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमः. So Indra started this yoga sannyasa. Actually, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati said that the worst thing Ravana did was to use the dress of a sannyasi to seduce a woman. That was the most offensive thing that he did. And then that degrades the whole order. If one of you does something very, very grave, a few people might think, oh, the Hare Krishnas are very great. Or they might more likely think, well, this one's okay. But if one of us does something very bad, then the whole movement will be labeled. Right? Oh, the Hare Krishna stole something. Hare Krishna did this. Hare Krishna did that. And they'll impose that on everybody. And if it's a big leader, of course, then everybody wants to follow. So everyone is a leader, everyone is setting an example for someone, the teacher, parents, government people. So many people follow their example. They think, well, you know, this man cheated and lied and he became very rich, so I'll do that also, because they're taught that becoming rich is the most important thing. So Indra is noted for envy. And in this case, it's his envy. He's always fearful of his position. He's the king of heaven, but that's a position that's earned. He got it by doing 100 ashwamedha yagyas. Very difficult to do. Only a very big king can do that. So whenever there's a sannyasi that he sees doing, you know, really strong tapasya, or anyone doing something that may threaten that they may get his job, then he does whatever he can to stop them. If it's a sannyasi, he sends a beautiful woman, like he did in the case of Vishwamrita Muni. He sent a heavenly dancing girl to distract him from his profession. He succeeded a couple of times. He does that often. He did that with the Narayan Rishi. They were doing such a question. Of course, that's Narayan, that's Krishna and Arjuna. So he sent the beautiful apsaras and the cupids. And then out from the body of Narayan Rishi came out many, many, much more beautiful dancing girls. Just appeared. So then they were all embarrassed and realize they've made a big mistake. And then Narayan said, you can take one of these girls for Indra. So they got the Urvasis. Urvasis is the most beautiful of all the heavenly dancing girls in Indra's kingdom. That came from the body of Narayan Rishi. So then Indra got a little lesson that nothing can disturb Krishna, but an ordinary person can be disturbed. And for us, it may not be exactly Indra watching out, but Maya is always testing everyone. distract the devotee. And if the devotee keeps his determination and doesn't deviate, then Krishna will be pleased. And finally tell Maya to leave that devotee alone and instead help that devotee in whatever he's trying to do in the service of Krishna. So this is an interesting study. Indra is a devotee. He's a great devotee. Otherwise he couldn't have such a responsible position. But it's a position in the material world, and occasionally he also has to get his perks. He lives very opulently. He's worshipped. He's surrounded by beautiful dancing girls and servants. He needs that in order to do this work against the King of Heaven. Without the King of Heaven, everything becomes chaos. After Indra killed him, one demon, Vritrasura, he got cursed for killing a Brahmana. And he had to run and hide. So he was hiding in the, under the water, breathing through a lotus stem. And the lotus stem is hollow. And it goes up to the flowers. And that's how sometimes he'll just stay underwater. Nobody could find him. And it was becoming chaotic in heaven. The universe was without a king. So then when there's no government, no king, then everything goes wild. So that the sages went to earth and they got one king, Nahusha. Nahusha was a great big king, and they begged him to come and be the king of heaven. And he didn't want to do it, because he knew it was risky to have such a big position, you know. And he made them promise that he would be protected, that whoever he gave a glance at, if he wanted to, he could burn them to ashes. So in order to get a king for heaven, the rishis, they don't want to do it themselves, because they're rishis, and being a king is a mode of passion. You have to govern and judge people and punish people and give a reward and all these things. So it's very risky business. And also getting all that sense gratification. So he took the job and he got very puffed up. He became very puffed up, and he tried to seduce Sachimata, the wife of Indra, who was a completely chaste woman. So she said very intelligently, she said, "Well, let me think about it. And I'll get back to you tomorrow." She didn't want to refuse him because he could have burned her right up. Right? So she knew where Indra was, and she went to him. And she told him what was going on. So he told her what to do. He said, "You go back to this Nahusha, and you glorify him and tell him how great he is, and that he should get a chariot or a palanquin that's a chariot, I think, pulled by the seven sages, like horses. And he should go around and show everybody how great he is, that the seven sages are his chariot puller, the palanquin carrier." So he thought, "That's a good idea. I'm very great, and I should live like that." So he was going around, and he got so whipping these sages and insulting them. And then he wanted to get down from the chariot. And he asked one of the sages to put his head so he could put his head for a step. And that was too much for the sages. They had put him in the position. So, Punamuska Baba, he can become again a mouse. So, they cursed him to fall out of heaven and become a big snake on earth. So he was crying and crying, "Please give me a break, you know, to be a snake for the rest of the duration of the planet, of the universe or something." So they said, "All right, you'll have, the snake will have some very difficult questions, and when someone comes along that can answer those questions, then you can be out from the snake body. You can be liberated. So he was a big python snake. They have those in South America. A huge snake. And they kill by wrapping themselves around them. Crunching. They can take a whole deer and then they swallow the whole thing. It's so big. It's sometimes very long. They make movies of them. Scaring everybody. So that was in the Satyayuga. So finally in the end of Dwarva Yuga, Bhima came by and he grabbed Bhima and he started to squeeze Bhima, and Bhima tried to fight, but he couldn't fight, so he kind of just gave up, said okay. And the snake had consciousness, so he liked Bhima. He was starting to talk to him. Bhima had a good attitude about losing the fight. So he tried asking Bhima the questions, but Bhima couldn't answer. But then somehow the Yudhisthira came by. And so the snake presented all these very difficult questions to Yudhisthira. Yudhisthira answered every one of them perfectly. And then suddenly came out from the snake body, beautiful like demigod, and went to heaven. But he didn't become the king of heaven again. Took a better, more safer position. So if one becomes proud of whatever he has, in Kali Yuga, people are proud of anything. A beggar is proud of one little penny, piece of meat that someone gives him. Everyone is proud, puffed up. And practically everyone is envious. The material world is made on envy. So we want to conquer over that by service. The spiritual world is based on love. Material world is based on envy. So if I'm envious of you, it's due to lust. You have something that I want, and I want that thing. So I'll try to get it one way or another. Either by killing you, or by trying to make your name bad. Like in politics, they have a lot of influence in the media, so when they want to defeat someone, then they get a lot of news about how bad that person is. Right? They find out all kinds of things and make up stories also. And they flood the news with, he did this, he said that, he did this. There's many different ways. So we have to be determined. Prabhupada said that is determination. One has to take the order of the spiritual master and execute it, despite all impediments. That is determination. If you have determination, Maya will put forward many impediments. And with all sufferings, if he remains determined in Krishna consciousness, life is success. Just like our students who's given up smoking, promised no more smoking. Now he's put among some friends, they are smoking and he has a bad habit. Thinks, why not smoke? But we have to be careful. Determination means we just stick it out. We promise. Take initiation, we take vows. It's a promise. So if we stick to it, then we can go back to God and be successful. No matter how much the road is bumpy, actually we know about bumpy roads here. But if we just drive carefully, slower, then we can make it. Right? If we try to go too fast on the really bumpy road, what happens? Either you ruin the car or go flying off the road or something. Go according to the conditions. If we try it, we don't have any patience and we want to do something really quick, and we're expecting Krishna to give us whatever we think is mercy really fast, we'll give up. Patience is determination, and then patience is required. Patience is a virtue, right, in Christianity. Patient, tolerant, put up with all the trouble, and just keep going and try to serve the devotees. And we see the power of prayer. Actually, devotees should be praying no matter what we do, even the most ordinary thing. We should, because really, someone is really Krishna conscious, we would know that we can't do anything. We can't breathe, we can't move, we can't talk, we can't do anything unless the demigods are doing it for us, actually. And that's by the grace of Krishna. Most of the time we can carry on. We can sweep the floor, we can cook, we can drive the car, we can even go out and get donations. We can do so many things without really begging Krishna. So it's good to try to do more difficult things sometimes. Where we have to depend on Krishna, take a shower. Sometimes we realize, like recently with Srimajaya Pataka Swami, when he had this stroke, then everyone, even the doctors, were the top doctors in the world practically, in the top hospital. They said you have to pray. So they do whatever they can do, but as far as their medical experience, nothing will work. No. But then it worked. Something worked. Because so many devotees started praying. And everybody knew there's nothing else. The doctors are doing everything they can. We can't help them. We can't get them. Some devotees were calling the doctor and trying to give him advice. Some doctor told me that we don't know how they got his number. He got very frustrated. And to tell him, don't bother the doctor. They consult other big doctors also. They have their experience and they have their knowledge. So they do everything they can, and then it's up to Krishna. Any good doctor knows that. But Krishna's the real doctor. I give the medicine, I give the whatever we give, but when we're preaching, we should know. Krishna's really doing it. I may just say so many things, I may arrange so many things. Actually, it's all Krishna. So we pray to Krishna. When we really depend on Krishna, then we can be very, very successful. But success is not always, what we expect. Krishna doesn't always do things in the way that we would plan it. Right? Things often go in a different way, and it looks like not so good, but then we see ultimately that Krishna has a plan, and everything comes out very good. So somebody just sent some things about etiquette, devotee etiquette. Of course, you hear about etiquette in the material world, and it's similar. The person is very conscious. Etiquette means external manners and conduct, and helps us become free from our original envy and desire to enjoy it. This is from Hari Bhakti Vilas. Etiquette helps us. A faultless etiquette increases one's fame, wealth, longevity, and destroys everything inauspicious. Proper Vaishnava etiquette purifies the heart and consciousness. Practicing etiquette is action in the mode of goodness. A devotee's advancement can be seen by how humble he is, how well he behaves, and how disciplined and cultivated he is. You had a very good example here at Bhakti Chaitanya Swami. Very cultured in his behavior. always polite, always dressed very nicely, right? Always nice tilak, always smiling, always greeting everyone. So we should try to follow. I was noting at the memories in Benin, most of the devotees who had met him, and he was like very major part of them joining due to meeting him personally. They were very much impressed by his kindness and humility and all those things, which is very good. We should remember that. Then we should think, well, that may be like that also. Because I noted that many of those devotees, I don't know if we could find anybody that would say that about them. Right? Although everybody sometimes is like that. But we want to cultivate. But then we have a very attractive society where many people want to join when they see that loving. You're not going to join just for, some people will join just for a big building or some kind of opulence. Some thieves might come, some poor people. But what really makes people want to come is when they see the blissful, loving, caring attitude of the devotees. Everybody is concerned about everyone else, not only the other devotees, but also everyone in the universe. This is some points to be, this is from Madhya Leela. Learn how to properly offer obeisances and respect. Never use unpleasant words. Never lie. Don't speak badly of others. We shouldn't look at the faults. We should try to see the good qualities. Don't laugh too loudly. Don't tease people who are dumb, mad, in need, ugly, lame, or fallen. Don't reprimand anybody except your children or your students. Don't blow your own horn. Right? You have that saying? I'm great. I did so many wonderful things. Yet, according to the story from Mahabharata, one time Yudhishthira was injured very badly in the battle. And they took him to the back to get some treatment. In those days, they had very powerful treatment and could patch him up really quick. So Arjuna got worried about Yudhishthira and he went to see him out of love, out of the sea, you know. And Yudhishthira became very angry. He said, what are you doing here? You left the battle, you're a coward, you know, why aren't you fighting? And Yudhishthira told him, you're not worthy to carry your Gandiva bow. You should give it up. Arjuna had vowed that if anyone told him that he should give up his Gandiva bow, he would kill him. So it became a very difficult situation. He couldn't break his vow and he couldn't kill Yudhishthira. But Krishna was there, and Krishna can fix up anything. So Krishna told him that if you insult Yudhishthira, insulting him is the same as killing him. So therefore you can keep your vow without him. So Arjuna started insulting Yudhishthira and deserving blasphemy. And then Arjuna felt so bad that he defended Yudhishthira that he wanted to kill himself. Because that's the only rectification of insulting his older brother, was to kill himself. So then Krishna said, no, and Yudhishthira didn't want him to do that. Krishna said, okay, just praise yourself. And that's the same as suicide. So Arjuna started talking about all the wonderful things he did, what a great fighter he was, and then Krishna said, okay, now everything's alright, and both were happy, and he went back to the fight. So it's a good lesson learned. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't praise other devotees. We should, when other devotees, for what they do in devotional service of Krishna, we should praise. And then the devotee will naturally feel humble and realize that you know, Krishna is the supreme doer. Don't be friendly with envious, fallen, mad, debauched, liar, unscrupulous, womanizers. If someone insults you, leave the place quietly. You should always try to give service to the Vaishnavas. Worshipping Krishna must be accompanied by your service to the devotees. Never take sides in a dispute between devotees. Of course, there's a philosophical debate, you know, that's different, but like I think I talked about mediation here a few years ago. Mediation means you get two people that are having some conflict, and mediator is in between, neutral. He just tries to arrange that they discuss it amongst themselves and come to some sort of a solution. Not that he says you're right and he's wrong. And we're trying to do everything like that, because if one wins and the other loses, you have one side getting very puffed up and the other side becoming very angry, sometimes leaving the movement. Or even the one that becomes puffed up leaves because he's so proud that he's right. Starts offending everybody. Yeah, easy. But most things we can work out, come to some agreement by communication. And this is stated actually in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when the so-called quarrel between Advaita Acharya and Nityananda, they were insulting each other like anything. But it says anyone who takes sides in a dispute between devotees will be ruined. Therefore, we should address each other as Prabhu. You can always learn from someone else. If you engage your God brothers and God sisters as your servants, you will fall down. But that some people take that a little too far. Say that because sometimes it seems like personal service, but it's actually service to Krishna. And it can benefit them, but it's the mentality of the person. If he thinks I'm great and you should serve me, then he becomes like Nahush, become proud, and that'll be a disaster. By offering obeisances, we can get free from sinful reactions. So we want to avoid all kinds of offense, but especially Vaishnava Aparad. That is the most serious of all the offenses to the body. Because Krishna likes all the devotees, so when there's criticism of the devotees, Krishna leaves. When there's glorification of the devotee, then Krishna comes and likes them. So it's a good exercise to they do sometimes in seminars. They make an announcement that somebody was supposed to be coming, but on the way they had an accident and were killed. And then everybody says what they'd like to say about them. Right? Generally then, unless it was really, you know, we think of all the best things and we feel bad that we had maybe made some offense and neglected something, or not recognize them. We have to think about that sometimes. Everyone is valuable, but sometimes familiarity breeds contempt. So sometimes someone can become too familiar and not recognize that, you know, we're with devotees all the time. All devotees are very important. And when we do that, like I said, we'll attract many, many people when we do what we're supposed to do for Krishna. the simple things that Lord Chaitanya gave us, that Srila Prabhupada gave us, Harinam Sankirtan, prasadam distribution, book distribution, those are our outreach programs. When we focus on demand agriculture, the Prabhupada was saying about Varnashramalada, especially in the end, towards the end of his life. If I ask him, well, you know, he said he's going to go to Idanagari, teach Varnashram. And someone asked him, what is it? He said, I'll teach them to live off the land. This is very much stressed. They just had a seminar on the oil crisis. Because oil, no matter what, is going to run out. They know how much there is, pretty much. It's getting harder and harder to get it out from the ground. It's becoming more rare, so there's more wars about it. And we're completely dependent on oil. You brush your teeth, the toothbrush is made of oil, the toothpaste is oil driven. You know, all this plastic, everything is oil. The cloth you wear, most of it is part oil. Right? The road is made out of oil, the car runs on oil. So we're very oil dependent. And now in modern farming, the tractor and the fertilizer is some kind of oil. Everything is oil. The demons are taking advantage of that. But for all the things that I mentioned that seminar with, he said it won't be long before the highest paid workers in the world are the farmers. Because without food, then what's the use of any amount of oil you have? How big your house is? How big car you have? Right? How famous you are? If you don't have food, then what's the use? Right? So one should learn to live simply, but also we should take advantage. This country is ideal for producing your own food. Yeah, if you're actually living in one of the best places in the world, there's a lot of land. Somebody was telling me once that, you know, they want to make a farm. Said in England, farmland is going to something like 10,000 pounds an acre. If you can even find it that somebody could sell. Here, what are you getting in Sweden? $100. Okay. In Sweden, how much is it? $100. The land?
Lots. Yeah, I know if money is going to go $100.
Yeah. And you can farm all year round. No climate problem. Very fertile. So please, everybody, let's really work on that. Take advantage of that. More and more people will come to take shelter. Also, that work is extremely nice. Although we've been conditioned, I know I was conditioned, I think you've been also in school, that it's farming is for low-class, stupid people, you know. High-class people go to college and become engineers or clerks or accountants, right? And the farmers are stupid, but without the farmer, nobody can eat. Nobody else can do anything. And it's not that easy to be a farmer and know what to plant, when to plant, and when to pick it, and keep the bugs away, right? It's not something you just suddenly learn when the leaf comes. So, if we really work on that here. I was told a long time ago that when devotees first came to Africa, prophets said, buy a lot of land in Africa, because if there's a big war, it won't be so much effective. That, you know, the war won't last very long if they really go at it. And it'll be in the northern hemisphere. What do they want? You know, there's no big cities. Nothing that they're really after here except farming. And they're going to realize that more and more. So we should take advantage. Someone asked Prabhupada, if a devotee's determination wavers and slackens here and there, is there a point where the neophyte devotee is in danger of forgetting everything and falling down? Everyone is a neophyte. He should practice with determination, that's all. If he cannot practice, why should he enter into this association? Let him remain aloof. One who has entered with the determination that I must practice. So if he cannot practice, then why this make show that I belong to Krishna? I'm initiated. Why this farce? He must practice with determination. By practicing, I'll be success. That is one. He has no determination. Why did he make a show? Jitavratha. This is one. Determination. Go on. When one is determined, his success is assured. If he's not determined, then success or failure. Can someone develop determination gradually? Prabhupada replied, why gradually? When you promise before your spiritual master that no illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating, why should you fall down? If you have no determination, why should you promise in the presence of the deity, fire, spiritual master, and Vaishnava? Why do you make this farce? If you have no determination, if you want to make it a farce, that depends on you. But you should not fall down. That is determination. That is gentleman's determination. I have given my promise. Why should I fall down? That is determination. I must respect. That is dhritavrata. So he'll success. Where is the difficulty? There's no difficulty. But if you want to cheat, that's another thing. If you have no determination, we should not take up this life. Therefore, chance is given. Stay with us for 6 months or 1 year. Be determined, then be initiated. If you are not determined, what is the use of initiation? The devotee said, sometimes weakness seems to be... Prabhupada stopped him. He was unsympathetic to excuses. Weakness there, you should rectify weakness. Why should you give any importance to weakness? Weakness is weakness. Rectify it. So that's a good message. We should keep that in mind. If we read regularly Srimad Bhagavatam, if we are serving devotees, if we're chanting, especially japa, carefully every day, then Krishna will always protect us in spite of all the weaknesses or attacks of Maya or whatever comes along. Krishna will keep us on the track. So thank you very much. Any questions? No? Any question? Yeah?
What is it meant for?
The last one,
you say
sometimes it's not loud, loud. Yeah, too loud.
Too loud.
That's from Hari Bhakti Vilasa. You know, not just crazy, stupid laughing and disturbing it. It might mean laughing at, you know, if there's a joyful kirtan or something, Lord Chaitanya sometimes laughs a lot. It doesn't say loudly, no, but sometimes people laugh at others' mistakes and things like that. That's very bad. If we laugh at our own mistakes, it's good. If we laugh at others' mistakes, it's good. Others' defects. You know how children are. Oh, that person's too fat. That one's poor. Right? Oh, right? And adults, we carry that over, and then that person is the wrong religion, that person is the wrong color, the wrong size, you know. So much condition to that. That we should get out of. Every society has etiquette. Vaishnava etiquette is not that much different. Any good behavior, cleanliness, politeness, trying to help others. When I was in elementary school, the principal, they had a speaker in every room, you know. It was a big school. So every day, towards the end of the day, he would give a little thought for the day over there. They'd come to every room. And I only remember one out of all those days. He said, if you can't say something good about someone, don't say anything. And I remember thinking of that. I can't do that. That'll be really hard. And I didn't think about it much. And I didn't certainly try to apply it until after I was a devotee for quite some time. Still, our habits are very bad. So look for the good, especially in devotees, and try to cultivate them. Treat every devotee like you treat your own children. Okay, any
others? Yeah, please, you also read that as a mediator, one should not take sides.
Yeah.
Maybe if you devotees to fight the habits or conflict or the doubt, you, the mediator, should not take sides. Can you?
I thought I did a little bit, but of course, if somebody did an actual crime, it doesn't apply. That's different. But just in disagreements, arguing, you know, disagreeing over something, accusing each other of you did this or you did that, we shouldn't take sides. That's what mediation is to. We should try to get them to help them to communicate with each other and settle their difference. Or, like husband and wife, if it's just a basic argument, of course, if the husband is cruelly beating the wife, that's another thing we have to protect. But if they're just having their normal arguments like every husband and wife does, it's not recommended to come between them. The police in America, in Los Angeles, they get so many calls for this domestic violence. Neighbors call, they hear the people fighting like anything, you know, threatening to kill. And the police had so many calls that they couldn't handle them all. They had to put a priority system. Because they were so busy with that, they couldn't take care of it. And they don't like to go, because sometimes they come to the house to try to stop them from fighting with each other, and they both suddenly gang up on the police. Said, this is our own private affair, and what the hell are you doing? It's none of your business. And they both start throwing the knives and fighting with the policemen, you know, hitting each other. That's extreme with these things. You probably use it in all kinds of things. If children are quarreling, your own children, for instance, the father doesn't like to take sides. Right? You try to make them, right? So something like that. I remember when I would get mad at my brother, and my father would get really upset, and I would think, well, why doesn't he see what a stupid jerk my brother is? You understand how I'm so right and my brother's so wrong. Right? But the father doesn't want to do that. He wants to try to settle it. Sometimes we'll think, well, the father's favoring the other one. Actually, he's trying to favor both. When you're in an angry mood, you can't realize it. So we have to be careful. If we take sides, then we're going to become an enemy of one, friend of the other. That's what mediation is, to remain neutral, just like a referee. If somebody breaks a rule, you have to tell them. Is it been shaken and judgmented that where Chaitanya is taking prasad at Advaita's house? That's just some explanation of that. Okay? If someone is doing something that endangers their own life or endangers the life of others, then of course, you know, we can be a little abrupt, right? But if it's just a minor disturbance, then sometimes you have to leave it for the time being, and then later when things have calmed down, try to instruct them to help. Some people really take advantage of that with their children, or their wife. They think this is my property and I can do whatever I want. I can beat this child, I can insult him constantly, I can do whatever I want. That's not correct. It's not a real father, it's not a spiritual master. Treated us, that's not how Papa treated us, that's not how Bhakti cares as well. Treated everyone. But we have to point out, you know, sometimes what somebody is doing wrong and try to help them to do it right. But in a nice way.
Permission is condition. You should test something or you should put our, I mean, get it, the condition. You should do something with it, the condition.
The what?
Determination.
Determination, yeah.
Yes. How can you get the determination to do your devotion? And what case do you do that when you get that determination?
Bhutan, Nishkaya, Kaya, yeah. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Enthusiasm, determination, and patience. So first there's enthusiasm. Nobody will come to Krishna consciousness without some kind of enthusiasm, any kind. But then the things get a little tough sometimes in the mind. So you have to keep the goal in mind, you know, like if you're doing anything, determination means you keep doing it, even though it's a little hard, because sometimes it seems like you're not getting anywhere. Right? There are how to get it. You know, Prabhupada is just saying, you know, you do it. And there are things that ruin determination in spiritual life, like illicit sex is specifically mentioned. That if one has illicit sex, then his determination for devotional service is going to weaken very much. Determination for sex might increase, you know, for any illicit activity. So by the basic thing, by hearing regularly, you know, chanting the holy name, taking only prasadam, of course all that requires determination. But the more you practice your determination, the more you get it. Right? Associate with devotees who are really determined, because yajna acharya shrestas, and you'll automatically do like they're doing. Bad association will weaken our determination. If we listen to people always blaspheming and criticizing the devotees, talking about how they don't like to do this service or that service, right, or how hard it is, and what's going to happen to you? Right? You're going to get like, oh yeah, maybe you're right. But we have to choose all the time. Right. How does Shivas get so determined? Somehow, if we can recognize the value of what we're going to get by hanging in there, then of course we keep trying. You see examples of people that, like these guys across the street, they're very determined. They work hard. Obviously, they're making money also. Out in that wood, they work really hard. They're building a house all the time, and that's how they got something going. But they see the results. Devotees see the result. If we just keep chanting and keep practicing, we actually make advancement. We become more and more free from anxiety, pain, and suffering. So pray to Krishna, please give me that determination. Let me keep going. By prayer. Ultimately, prayer is always there as a final essential thing. And we just have to pray to Krishna, please. You know. giving guidance out, not making comments. You know, you make sense. Like when I was there in Bombay, and I could see for a second, so all I could do was pray. Then I don't know what Krishna wants. I know what I want, but I'm not even sure. I don't know what he wants. You know. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. You know. Start to chant and more and more feeling. When I realize we have to serve Krishna, nothing else is going to help.
Hare Krishna. During the time of his preaching, he was taken together to the heavenly planets.
He what?
He was taken together to the heavenly planets.
Yeah.
And not see though so many people were able to do that. So I want to know whether in this age of Kali, we can get people who can also get there.
Heavenly planets? Not at this time. Not by India's got some, they think they're going to go to the moon now. It's very interesting that America claims they went to the moon in 1968 or something. It was before I was a little kid. I watched it on television. And they claimed it won so many times in the 70s. Now they say they're going to go again, but it's taking them 15 years to get ready. If they did it 30 years ago, why is it such a... Right? And they don't know that, they don't even know there are any planets. No, Prithu was the first place in India. The demigods can always go. They can come here, but they don't come anymore. They can come and go. But the earth people, we can't. But you can die and go to heaven and die. If you live right, but we don't want to go there. We don't want to go there. For the devotee, heaven and planets like hell. Dangerous. Forget Krishna. We don't want to go to Krishna.
Alright?
Diksha Guru? Diksha or Shiksha?
Diksha. Yeah, after one who have left.
Yeah.
Then Diksha Guru, why is there this composition on that?
What do you mean by that?
Okay, my guru have left. That is why it's a composition.
Yeah.
And do I need to say that?
No.
Because if you want to have a living guru,
you have one. You got to initiate it from one.
Yeah.
No. If the guru gives up with your consciousness and becomes a liability or something, you might want to get another. Some do, some don't. There's no architectural. So you need someone to take instruction from. Like, we need many Shiksha gurus. That should be many. But the Diksha is this official connection with Krishna. You got that. So you don't need to do that. It's not wrong. You can break it off. But when the Guru leaves his body there and brings you closer, if you're following, that'll bring you closer. That's a mystery.
On the issue of divination, I think in the spiritual way of faith, by Diksha Swami, he was saying that one should start every project with an end in mind, meaning that you should have the goals before the project. When I think I didn't want to fight about the process, Diksha was telling him that you should not be thinking of the end. That you should just do the duty. You it should just fight. They are thinking of whether he's going to win or he's going to lose.
Right.
So how do you reconcile these two destruction from these two moves?
That's one of the mysteries that's discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. Action and inaction. And inaction and action. Right? One should work as if he's attached to goal, as if he's a doer, but he knows that Krishna's a doer. So not attachment to the goal necessarily, but you have to know the goal, otherwise why are you doing that? Right? Say you're going to have a feast and you're going to know what you're going to end up with, right? What you're going to cook, you have to have the ingredients. Right? Somebody was one devotee in Japan, he started going to a lot of these mundane seminars about determination and all these different things, there's lots of them. And they're all like, everywhere in the world, they're Christians, but in Japan, of course, they're all migrating atheists, businessmen, only after money. Those people know a lot of good techniques and stuff for getting your goals accomplished, but the goals that they promote are all like the same thing as Nigerian churches, you know, get rich, enjoy, be happy. And he was saying, well, our goals are too far, you know, because they talk about going back to Godhead, and then nobody can relate to that. But that's the ultimate goal, but then how to get there, we have lots of daily goals. We're going to chant 16 rounds every day, we're going to follow the regular, every day we have to wake up and think, today I'm going to do this. Today I'm going to try to do better than before, right? Actually, every mantra we should be thinking, this one I'm going to really do right. Not that, you know, it's some inconceivable thing that we can never understand, that, you know, right, back to Godhead, so far in the future, the next life. Sometimes psychiatrists tell devotees, well, you're striving for something that doesn't exist, the next life, that's why you're not happy. You have to work for this life. But right now, you've got to enjoy it. You've got to get your sense back. Alright? So, just I was trying to write something about envy. Envy is defined in the dictionary, spite and resentment at seeing the success of another. Set one's heart on, feel envious towards, admire envious. Envy is used in advertising. But who are the envious people in the scriptures? Duryodhan, you know, who wants to be like Duryodhan? The wives of Chityaketu, they killed a baby. Indra, they often get envious. So just like it's the nature of everyone in the world to be envious, Prithu envied also. Ramachandra Khan was envious. He sent a prostitute to try to put down Harinath Thakur. Jagannatha Swami Nayana Pata Swami Bhavatu Me.